Tonight, I will be singing number 18, 1-8, Faithful Love. Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, makes my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Faithful love is a friend just when hope seems to win, makes one face sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, Spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name.
I will be reading Luke 4:13. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time.
My next song tonight will be 587. 587, Sing and Be Happy. I'll be singing the first and last stanzas. If the skies above you are gray, you are feeling so blue. If your cares and burdens seem great all the whole day through, there's a silver lining that shines in the heavenly land. Look by faith and see it, my friend. Trust in his promises grand. Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Oft we fail to see the rainbow up in heaven's fair sky, when it seems the fortunes of earth frown and pass us by. There are things we know that are worth more than silver and gold. If we hope and trust him each day, we shall have pleasure untold. Sing and be happy. Press on to the goal. Trust him who leads you. He will keep your soul. Let all be faithful. Look to him and pray. Lift your voice and praise him in song. Sing and be happy today. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for the blessings you've given us, and thank you for this church. Thank you for the elders and deacons. Thank you for the preachers for teaching us. Please be with the military overseas fighting for our freedom. Thank you for sacrificing your only son, Jesus, to die on the cross, save us from our sins. Please be with the people who need you most in this world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I will be reading James 1, 12 through 15. James 1, 12 through 15. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood to the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away from their own evil desire and incited. Then, after the desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
How's your spiritual growth with God? Are you growing in the right direction, or are you growing in the evil of the world, where they want to tear down your faith and bring you far away from God? I want to talk to you about three points that have to do with that. And there's three different types of people. They all come from Matthew 13, 1 through 9. It says, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on shore. Then he spoke many things to them, saying, behold, sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell on the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell in the stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of the earth. But then the sun was up, and they were scorched. Because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell on the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on the good ground and yielded their crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who hears, let him hear. The first point I want to talk about are the rocks, or the stony place. And it says, and this, some fell on the stony places where it did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. And the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. These are the people that are on fire for God for a little bit. And this normally happens on, like, when you go to camp or a youth rally, you're on fire for God for a few weeks, maybe even a month. Then you slowly fall away from God from being the quick Christian you need to be. Second point is the thorns. Now read that. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. These people are like people who are holding back from God and having a relationship with him. These are like having your friends that keep you away from God, and that you just want to stay wrapped with them instead of being with God where you know you need to be. Last thing I want to talk about is the good soil, where you grow in spiritual and righteousness and have a great relationship with God. And you keep it. But we all stumble and fall. But since we have the grace of God that keeps us close, God can be influenced. We can be a great influence to our friends and know that God will keep them. And you could bring them to heaven with you one day. So the question I asked you at the very beginning was, how is your spiritual growth with God? Is it like the rocks were on fire for a little bit, and then you fall away from God? Or is it like the thorns where you're holding back from being a Christian you know you need to be and where God wants you to be? Or are you in the good soil, where you want to be and where God wants you to be? So what are you? Hope you're in the good soil, where you're able to bring more people to Christ and be a Christian God intended you for be. And I want to end with a song. It's 625. 625. the first and third stanzas. Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above. While the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love. While we tarry below, there is work to do, and our strength cometh from above. As we labor and win, we must all be true. Let us list to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love.
I will be reading from 8:39. Nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Good evening. Strength is a tool that most people must have in order to complete a task, a job, a goal, and so on. As Christians, we have to be strong in our faith. We must do what is right and stand up for what is right at all times. It's not always easy being strong in our faith, but in order to get to heaven one day, we must give it our all. In the following few minutes, I will share three inspiring points that will help all of us when we are beginning to weaken in our faith. Point number one, God is with us wherever we go. In Romans chapter 8, verse 39, as Garrett just read, it says, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sometimes we get caught up in our sin. We all have our moments where our mistakes take control, where our hearts are weighed down with heaviness, when we feel so far away from God. But here's the thing, God sees all of that. He sees our mess. He sees our brokenness. He sees our guilt. Yet he loves us anyway. There is nowhere we can go to hide from his love. There is no point in our lives where he sees us as undeserving of his love. There is nothing we can do to separate us from him. So even when you feel like you've gone so far from his grace, know that he hasn't left your side. All you need to do is ask for forgiveness, to clean your heart, to trust in him to lead you back to the correct path. Point number two, you can find strength in his name. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There will be moments when your faith falters, when you're lonely and exhausted. There will be moments where grief grabs a hold of you and crumbles you to the ground. But in these moments, you will find redemption and power in his name. In these moments, if you choose to follow him, he will guide you away from the tough moments and into the good moments. So trust him. Give him control. Give him your fears and troubles. Give him all of you and allow him to work his grace into your life. Let him remind you that your name is attached to his. Point number three, God sees all the good through the bad. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, the Bible says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continued to help them. It can be so easy to fall into the trap of feeling not good enough, whether it be kindness, gone unnoticed, a tired ache after a long day, feeling like you've never measuring up, or that God just doesn't care. It happens to all of us. But often, this is because we worry about ourselves and focus instead of seeing all of God's blessings toward us. We should always do good, not because we want it in return. We We should allow God's love to fill us and shine through us all. God sees the positive things that we are doing. A good deed in his eyes doesn't go unnoticed. With all this being said, we shouldn't worry about messing up. We shouldn't fear doing something wrong. We shouldn't grow weaker in our faith because of anything worldly. God loves us, and he has a place for us prepared in heaven. All we have to do is stay strong in our faith spiritually.
Invitation song this evening will be number 908. Right now we'll sing number 753, 753, and if you would please stand. We'll be singing the first and third verses.
Tempted and tried, where oft may to wonder, why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong, farther along we'll know all about it, farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by.
I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 and 29. Have you not known, have you not heard, the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength.
Good evening, everybody. Is this on? Yes. All right. After tonight is over, I want everybody, if you can, come up to these guys and just thank them for what they did. They have worked hard on all their lessons, preparing songs and reading scripture and prayer. These guys have worked hard. They worked hard all summer, and I've been blessed by them all summer long. I want to thank the elders and Cody for this opportunity to come speak to y'all tonight. This is my first time in front of a congregation, so I'm a little nervous, a little excited, a little bit of both, but we'll dive right on into it. So down here in the South, we like to do a lot of stuff in the outdoors, right? Whether that be hunting, camping, or, you know, just going out on the front porch and enjoying the view and the beauty that God's placed before us. While all these things are good, I want to focus on one outdoor activity tonight. It's fishing, as you can tell. If you will, well, not yet. I love to fish, and I know people here love to fish. Me and Cody have been out fishing a couple times this summer, and can't say we've been super successful, but we've enjoyed it. Even the times, you know, that we're catching some fish, and through the times that we're sitting in Alabama heat and humidity, it's dreadful, but it's times that I'll remember and I'll cherish because we've had talks during these times about numerous things, about college, because he was in the same college I'm at, about life, just about Bible stuff, just anything that you can think of we've probably talked about this summer. Tonight, I don't want to look at fishing from a perspective of us actually fishing. I want to look at it from a fish's perspective, if that is making sense. So imagine you're a fish, and you're inside of a rock crevice or a hole in the side of the bank. You're sitting there, been sitting there all day. You're getting hungry. All of a sudden, you hear bloop. And you see, not just like a snack-sized bug for the day, no. This is like dinner to feed your whole family for a week-sized creature you see swimming by you. So you're not sure about it, and you see all this beauty, these sparkles. You just see it glowing as it's swimming by your house. So you go out to investigate, and I'm talking about, like, this thing looks like a full-course meal, like some Outback stuff. It is looking good. So you see it go up, and you're like, oh, well, I guess I missed my chance. Swim back to your home. You sit there for a few seconds. Bloop. It's back. You're not letting it go this time. You swim up, and I don't know how many of y'all bass fish, but if you've seen a bass, it's engulfed. You engulf this creature that's been swimming that's going to feel you for a while. And as amazing as it looked, you've left the safety of your home and you've bit onto something that you can't let go of. Behind all the beauty of this bait is a hook, and you're caught. If you will, turn to James chapter 1, verse 14. And we're going to hop around a little bit tonight, so I hope everybody brought their Bibles with them. All right, James 1:14. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now, this word enticed, I didn't really know what it was when I looked it up at first. I was guessing it had something to do with being lured, you know, being brought in. So when I looked it up, the definition that I have was to be attracted or tempted by offering pleasures or advantages. So we look at this and we see, you know, what are we lured in by? What are some things that we think might bring us advantages in life but really don't? For me, it's our worldly desires, and those things are the things that we're attracted to and lured to the most. We know that these desires are wrong, and we know that we don't need to act upon them, but again, like the fish, they just look so good. How can we stay away from it? One time's not going to hurt us, right? So as a little illustration, let's see what we're talking about here. You got the fishing pole. But from a fish's perspective, all you're going to see is the bait. And what Satan does is he'll get this bait, these worldly desires, and he'll dangle out in front of you. Look at it. Oh, that looks good, don't it? It's going to fill you up. So Satan's been out fishing today. One time doesn't hurt, but, you know, you went down that road before and you've realized that you don't need to act on that sin. So what does Satan do? Does he give up? I want you to turn to Luke 4, verse 13. Luke 4, 13. So a little background before I get into this next part is, so Jesus has been in the wilderness being tempted by Satan for 40 days. I don't know about y'all, but I can't go a couple hours without being tempted and probably giving in to something. It's hard. It's like I said, it looks good. It looks like it's going to feel us, give us an advantage over something, but it doesn't. So Jesus is out here for 40 days being tempted, doesn't give in to it. And right here at the end of this part of this chapter, in verse 13, And when the devil had ended every temptation, so when the devil stopped tempting Jesus, the devil departed from him. He departed from him until, listen to that, until an opportune time. We weren't biting at this. We got past that sin. So what does the devil do? He gets something else in front of us. Say a $100 bill. Just dangles it out there. That looks better, don't it? You can buy a lot more worms with that, right? It looks good, right? Satan doesn't give up. He just switches his ways of temptation. Maybe he wants you to see the money and say to yourself, you know, why am I here on a Sunday morning? Why am I here on a Sunday night, Wednesday night? Why should I go to church activities with other people from the church? Why can't I go and, you know, go out and be making more money? I got bills to feed. I got a family to feed. I got things that I want, right? But look at verse 13 again. And he departed from him until an opportune time. The devil doesn't give up. I'm not saying that we don't need to feed our families. We don't need to pay our bills. We don't need to, you know, go out and splurge a little on ourselves. What I'm saying is we don't need to let this thought of money or sin consume us to where we lose sight of what our main focus is. So am I saying that we should try to run from temptation? Am I saying that we should cover our eyes everywhere we go to not look at these worldly desires that we have? I'm not. That's not possible. We certainly can't walk through life doing that. We can't run from sin, but we can run to God and His love. Last turning is to 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17. First John chapter 2, 15 and 17. Do not let the world or the things in the world, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life, is not from the Father, but from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires, but whoever does not do the will of God abides forever. If we focus and long after sins in this world, we're not going to see God's true love. But if we focus on God, He will make it easier for us not to fall back into sin. If you're watching some horse racing, they have the black blinders over their eyes, right? Why is that? You ever thought about that? It's so they don't see their competition beside them. They're focused on one thing, that's straight ahead. And if we have that focus straight ahead and our eyes are focused upon God and His commands and what He desires for us, that's where we'll be led. That's where we want to go. That's more than anything around us that we want. We have to want that more than sin. We have to want that more than worldly desires, desires of the flesh, all that. Sin is just a snare. It's a trap. It's a baited lure. The devil wants you. He wants you real bad. And he's not going to stop to do it. He's going to change his methods and ways that he's going to try to get you. Because we can grow to where we can step over this one sin, not pay attention to it, and then something will blindside us. The devil wants us to believe that worldly things are all that matter. But it's quite the opposite of that. Worldly things are going to pass, right? Judgment Day. Is your car still going to be there? Are you going to be driving around on the bricks of gold? No. Is this money going to matter? No. Simple things are not going to be there. So why do we put so much time focusing on them and not on God? The only thing that we're going to have to show God after this life is if we followed His commands and strived after Him every single day. And if we can't answer that to him, then we're going to have to bear our burdens for our sins. Don't let the devil bait you into eternal death. It's not worth it. It may seem like it. It may look all pretty and shiny. But underneath is something treacherous that's just going to catch you and pull you down. Like Joe said the other day, we're all born with the worst disease known to man. One that's killed more people than any other disease that we know on this earth. The disease is sin. But the good news is there's a cure. And tonight, if you haven't put on Christ in baptism, you haven't been raised up and walked the newness of life, I plead with you, do not wait. Because we are not promised tomorrow, we're not promised next week, we're not promised 5 minutes from now. If you want to study about it, please come forward tonight, and we'll have elders come and talk to y'all. We'll embrace y'all with a hug, we'll love on you. If you've just been struggling with this disease that we call sin, please come forward tonight. If you just need prayers from the church, same for you. Just please come forward. I say all that to just plead with you guys. Sin's not worth it. And if you need help, stand now as we come together and we sing.
There's a stranger at the door. Christ the Father's Son, let him in. Open now to him your heart. Let him in. If you wait, he will depart. Let him in. Let him in. He is your friend. He your soul will sure defend. He will keep you to the end. Now admit the heavenly guest. Let him in. He will make for you a feast. Let him in. He will speak your sins forgive. And when earth ties all our ribs, he will take you home to heaven. Let him in.
If you would please remain standing. If you haven't had a chance to take the Lord's Supper this morning, you can be dismissed at this time. And at this time, we'll sing one verse of a closing song, number 705.
A common love for each other, a common gift to the Savior, a common bond holding us to the common strength when we're weary, a common hope for tomorrow, a common joy in the truth.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for letting us come here tonight and worship you. Please help the sick and the poor and those who really need you at this time. Thank you for the lessons that we've had and help us to apply it to our lives. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you've given us. And thank you for Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.